Everybody. So this year, probably for the next few years actually, I'd like to do Hilchos Brachos. Hilchos Brachos is a very important, is probably almost as important as Hilchos Shabbos. Not obviously, Hilchos Shabbos is much more chamor. However, the Hilchos Brachos is something which we're faced with every single day. Now, a lot when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, we were raised in our houses, and therefore there are many brachos that, you know, it's second nature for us already. For example, somebody sent me a shaila on Friday, a picture of melba toast. You know, I haven't seen melba toast in years, all right? But I knew a melba toast would make a motzi, you know. But of course, I had to check it out just to make sure. But it's a very important limud, because the truth is, we make the wrong bracha. I want to say the consequences, but the implications are very severe, you know. And that's why it's important to know all the bracha. So let's just look at first at the Gemara that talks about why we make a bracha. So the Gemara is in Daf Lamed Hamad Aleph. It's source number one. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara says our rabbis learned. Asur lola adam shehena min al mazeb lo bracha. It's for a person. It's asur for a person to get benefit from this world without a bracha. Okay, which by the way would force the question. Okay, that's great. So we make a bracha on food. We make a bracha when we smell something nice. But there's some other things that we do that we enjoy, right? And we don't necessarily go ahead and make a bracha. But hopefully we'll discuss that today. B'chol hanena min ha'olam mazeh b'lo bracha. Anyone who gets hana, benefit from this world without a bracha, ma'al. So what happens is, it's like he is over the Isser of Me'ilah. The Isser of Me'ilah means, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, if you would use something designated for a korban, certain things, before the service was done, you would be over an Isser of Me'ilah. Now, unfortunately, we don't live in a time of the Beis HaMikdash right now, but just from understanding the Gemara, to me it seemed like Me'ilah is one of those Averis, where he said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Okay, it seemed like it was like people had a very, very difficult time. It was extremely challenging. It was, you know, the way it would seem to me is just like people would be in shock, you know, if they heard someone was over this Sur Chametz on Pesach. That's what Me'ilah was. So someone gets hanah from this world and does not make a bracha, it's like he is over the Isur of Me'ilah. So the Gemara asks the question, Matakante, how do you fix it? What do you do with it? So he says, Yelech Eitzel Chacham. You should go to a Chacham. So the Gemara says, Yelech Eitzel Chacham. Go to a Chacham. Ma'avidle. What does a Chacham do for you? Ha'avidle Yisura. Obviously, you did something usher. So why should going to a Chacham help? Elo Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Yelech Eitzel Chacham Me'ikara. You should go to a Chacham. At the very beginning, Lamdeno Brachas and Lim Brachas. So the Gemara really says that there's an obligation. This is one of the few times the Gemara implies and says a person has to go ahead and a person has to learn Hilchos Brachas. Right? Why can they show up at the Milah? She shouldn't come to Milah. The Gemara does not say it by most areas of learning, that a person has to go to a Chacham to learn. When it comes to Hilchos Brachas, the Gemara is very clear that you have to go to a Chacham to learn. I just want to add in that I don't consider myself a Chacham, but it happened that there was a request to do Hilchos Brachas, we'll do Hilchos Brachas. But we'll try our best. I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel. Ko anene mi'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Anyone who gets hung up in this world about a bracha, kilu nene mikach shemayim, it's like you went ahead and you had hanah from kachay shemayim. Kachay shemayim means that from something that was mekudosh, sanctified for heaven. Shenamar, as it says, LaHashem aratim loa, everything belongs to Hashem. Hashem is the land in its fullness, and therefore, if someone goes ahead and gets hanah from dana bracha, it's like you took something that was sanctified for heaven already. Rabbi Levi Ramiksiv, Rabbi Levi brings a contradiction. Ksiv is written, LaShem Aratzum Loa. One pasuk says, everything belongs to God. Uksiv, and another pasuk says, HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem, the heavens belong to God. Varsam Le'adam, and the land belongs to people. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha, it's not a question. What does it mean, not a question? Kan kodem bracha, kan liachar bracha. So we have a stira, because one pasuk implies heaven belongs to God. The other pasuk implies that heaven belongs to God, the land belongs to us. So the Gemara answers, how do we resolve this contradiction? It's not a problem. Before the bracha, everything belongs to God. And after the bracha, then it belongs to us. Because therefore we see that if you don't make a bracha, you're taking from Kachas Shemayim, that which is sanctified for heaven. And that's why a bracha is so important. And then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says like this. Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. It's a very important Gemara. Kol hanene in olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Anyone who gets hanach in the shoulder of bracha, ki ilu gozel hakadosh baruch hu. It's like you steal from Hashem. U Knesset Yisrael and the Knesset Yisrael. All right. So why is that? So number one, the reason why you steal from Hakadosh Baruch Hu is very simple, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu belongs to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to give a bracha. Okay, why is it like you steal from Knesset Yisrael? So, on a very simple level, I'll explain it like this. The reason why is, maybe we discussed this last year. When we say Baruch Atah Hashem, what does Baruch Atah Hashem mean? We say, blessed are you, God. What does that mean, blessed are you, God? What do we say? Okay? What do we say? Anyone know what we say when we say, blessed are you, God? I know, it's not really, I really shouldn't ask this question. But what does it really mean? Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God. Okay? So, in other words, like, we're trying to praise God, some people say, we're trying to thank God. So the way some Rishon explained it is like this, that when we're giving a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need our brachas, alright? So what really is a bracha? What's a bracha? It's actually this week's parsha, actually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayei bracha, I'll bless you, to Avraham Avinu. What does a bracha really mean? And what does a bracha really mean? So I believe the way Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains it, and it could be the Sefer HaChinuch explains it, is like this. So let's just say, for example, Yaakov Avinu says to Ephraim Menashe, "B'chol yivarech Yisrael," right? Klal Yisrael will bless their children by saying Yisimcho King Ephraim Menashe. Right? So the question is, like, okay, great. Why is that so great? Like, why is that like okay, very nice. Everyone's going to say. So today we said Ephraim Menashe. So the idea of a bracha is that you're saying we want more of you. Okay? We want more of you. So in other words, more of you can be, you know, your influence should be felt more, you get a bracha, someone should have money, you know, your teaching should be spread apart. And what Yaakov Avinu said is, Klal Yisrael should want your children to be like you. Okay, so what's a bracha? When we say Baruch HaTah Hashem, let's say, for example, I'm not eating apple. So I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this apple is because of you. We need more of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want you to show yourself more, right? So when you say a bracha, you're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show yourself more in this world, which on many levels interpreted well, that could be by the fact that there's more produce, that there's more rain, there's better weather, there's more security. That's the idea of Baruch. You're saying we want more of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if someone does not make a bracha, he had an opportunity to give to Am Yisrael something, and if he doesn't, it's like he's stealing. And that's why a bracha is so important. And then he goes on like this. And this, the Gemara goes on, Gemara says like this. And if someone, Gemara explains, and the Gemara says that if someone does not make a bracha, besides stealing, besides, yeah, I think, yeah,
I'm missing a page.
All right.
Okay.
He says, besides stealing, let's see if I have it on here. Besides stealing from,
do you want me to call
Karen
and bring
no, it? This is it.
Who doesn't have
sources?
Besides
stealing.
Mm-hmm. Those who want
that. Yeah. Well, besides stealing, just one second. Besides stealing, I think I should have one here. Besides stealing from, I have it in here, it's fine. Let's find it. Besides stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, he says you're a chaver, you become a friend of an ish mashkes. What does it mean, a chaver of an ish mashkes? You're a chaver, a friend of Yerav Menavat. Now, who is Yerav Menavat? What did he do besides starting Malchus Yisrael? What is he, I would say, infamous for?
The
calves, all right. So what he basically caused Am Yisrael to go astray. Okay, so he did. So he says, when someone doesn't make a bracha, you're actually responsible, okay, for causing Klal Yisrael to go astray. Why? Because you have to realize the effect of every bracha that you make, you can't imagine it has in the world, right? And therefore, it could be, because why? Because what's a bracha? A bracha is you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to be felt more in the world. And if you don't make a bracha, You're affecting the world in a certain way, and that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to make the brachas, know the brachas properly. That's why it's so important. Okay, so what do we see in this Gemara? We saw the importance of making brachas. We saw that the Gemara says that the reason why you can go ahead and you have to make brachos is because if you don't make brachos, so then the it's like stealing from Hekdesh. And we saw that it's like you're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Am Yisrael. You become you're sort of becoming a friend and associate of Yerovam ben Nevat. So sometimes the Gemara has a poetic license. Okay, the Gemara sometimes when it has an agadah will speak in a certain way, you know, to sort of make a point, but it's not really be taken true. The Rambam is not poetry. The Rambam says something, it's to be taken very literally. So if you look at source number 2, and you can look here, I have it over here, so you can look here. Source number 2.
Number 3.
Source number 3, I'm sorry. Rambam says, "Umidibrei sofrim, levarech al kol machal tchila. Midrabanan, a person should make a bracha on every food before he eats. V'acharkach, and afterwards, yehenem aleni get hanah." He says, "Vafilu niskavein lechov lishtos kolshu." Even if your only intent is to eat or drink a little bit, a small amount, mevarech, you make a bracha va'achar kach yena, and then you can get a benefit from it. V'cheinim heriach riach tov. If you smell something nice, mevarech, you make a bracha va'achar kenemena, and then you go ahead and get hana. V'chol hanena below bracha, and anyone who gets hana without a bracha, he says ma'al. It's your moel. So in other words, the Rambam here clearly says that if someone goes ahead and somebody eats about making a bracha, it's me'ila. It's me'ila. So we see that it's making a bracha is a very, very serious point. Okay. So making a bracha before you eat, we just said, what did Rambam say? Is it Darash or Darabonim?
Darabonim.
Okay. So now, there's a problem with that. Why? Because The Gemara says that if, let's say, for example, someone were to ask you, okay, why should you make a bracha? Okay, why should you make a bracha? What would you say? What would you say? Huh?
Why are you making a bracha?
Why are you making a bracha? What would you say?
Because we're recognizing where...
Okay, so the truth is that the Gemara says actually that it's a svara. It's a svara. It's logical. It makes sense. In other words, if you walk into somebody's house, right? If you walk into somebody's house and you see on the table, what would you think, right? If someone came to your house as a guest and he saw on the kitchen counter was a box of cookies, and without asking you, he walked over and took a cookie. Not your child, some guest. What would you think about it? You might not say anything. What would you think?
Strange.
A little bit rude, maybe, right? Okay, but they're different people. So the same idea should apply to making a bracha, right? It's a svara, it's logical. When you go ahead and you eat something, you should go ahead and you should make a bracha. It's logical. So the question is like this. So if it's logical, does that make it a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? That's the important question. If something's logical... So we all said, the rabbi said, what the rabbi says, the rabbi said, you have to make a bracha. But if it's logic, maybe you should go ahead and it's d'oraisa. It's very simple. So the reason why I say it is like this. Let's say a person comes to me, source number 4, and he says to me, you know, he says, that phone in your hand, that phone is mine. Okay? All right? And he takes me to the police station. Okay? Now, what should the police do if this person's just like Reuven says, that phone basically the police station has to say to him, police station will not say to me, you have to prove it's yours. The police station has to say to him, you think it's your phone, right? You have to prove it. Why? That's called in Hebrew, Hamotzi Mechavero. If someone wants to take out from his friend something, Olav Araya, it's upon him to bring a proof. Why? Because there's something called a muhsar. The fact that I am holding something in my hand, possession, I guess they say, is 9/10 of the law. That's the balance.
What is it called?
Muchzak, Memvav, Chet, Zayin, Kuf, Muchzak. Okay, so the Gemara in source number 4 asks the question. He says, Amar Shlomo Nachmeni, Minayin Lamotzech Alavaraya. How do you know Amotzech Alavaraya? Shnemar, quotes the pasuk, Mi Baldvarim, the one who is the Baldvarim, he's causing the problems. So Yagish Alehem. So Gemara says Yagish Rai Alehem. He has to bring a proof. You quote the pasuk, but I'm bringing a proof. So Maskar Ravashi, Ravashi says that's ridiculous. You don't need a proof, right? He says, "Halam mikra svarahu." It's a svar. It's a simple svara. The koyiv leki ivi azal levi asya elakrolo. Someone who has a problem, right? Who has to go? So if Reuven has a problem, Reuven has to go to the doctor. Okay, Reuven should not expect his wife to bring him to the doctor. Reuven has to go himself to the doctor. So therefore, if somebody has an issue that he thinks something belongs to him, it's his issue to prove it. That's what the Gemara says, the Svara, and that's how we paskin. So the bottom line is, if you go to Beis Din, okay, and you say to Beis Din, "This table belongs to me in this person's house," Beis Din says, "Prove it." Why? Because that's the Svara. So we see, and that's a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa. So we see that when you have a Svara, a logical proof, that becomes d'oraisa. So the Pnei Yeshua asked the question. Okay, the Pnei Yeshua asked the question. And the Pnei Yeshua's question is like this. If we see in other places also a Svara is a din d'oraisa, so he says, so that's the question. So why do we say making brachas is the Rabbanon, right? Making brachas will be what? The Araisa. That's the Pnei Yeshua's question. He says, if you look, it's source number five. It's not highlighted. I apologize. Pnei Yeshua Maseches Brachas, Dablam Nehemad Aleph, Gemara El Svara, Asr, maybe it is highlighted. It's not highlighted on my phone. Mashma Lashon Kol HaPoskim, Lefum Hach Maschana Dehacha, Kol birchas ananami rabbanan levar birchas amazon luchud, and according to the Rashba, it's even the alamichias diraisa. If you look three lines from the end, on lias daita daiti lechori leshutmoa, the hava kol hashas mash and bide asim yisvara, and all hashas, anything comes from a logical argument. So we say habmi diraisa the other rabba machsha hashas alamid cross varuhu. So it really should be diraisa. So the question is, why do we consider it to be Rabbanan? So that's the question. So an interesting thing is like this. If you look, this is last week's parsha, right? And this is actually a very important Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is of Yosef Engel. He was lived before the war. He wrote an encyclopedia on all svaras and shas. Okay, and basically we only have Aleph and Bet. There's a whole discussion: did he write the rest or not write the rest? He says, and he asks the questions. We know we just read Parshas Noach yesterday. Okay, so the question is, why was the Dor HaMavol punished? Why were they punished, the Dor HaMavol? Why was the Dor HaMavol punished?
Stealing.
So he asked the question, and we don't know this, that he says, if you look at source number 6, that in Tomer, Eich Nenshu Dor HaMavol, Me'ach Shon Stavol HaMitzvos. How was the Dor HaMavol punished? They weren't commanded the mitzvos. So he says, what does he say? V'yesh Lomar, Yesh Kama Mitzvos, Shechram Ne'ar L'Shamar, Mikolach Svaras Hadas. Even though not commanded. A person has to know that if something is a Svara, you have to keep it, okay? And just because a person wasn't told, right, that this is the rule. But if something is a svara, so you have to keep it. That's all. And the same thing. Making a bracha is a svara, and therefore you should go ahead and you should keep it. So oh, that's great. I'm fine. I'm good. It's okay. It's fine. Give it whatever it needs. All right. So he says like this. Now, so the tzlach, he realizes that. He says he. Thank you. The tzlach. That's fine. The tzlach. Airplane. That's fine. The tzlach. So he is actually tzlach also is asked the same question. Actually, he raises the Pnei Yeshua's question. He says like this. So basically, his answer is So basically what he says is like this. Tzlach basically says that even though something is a svara, it doesn't mean that it becomes a mitzvah. Okay? Now, when we talk about mandatory manners, that's a svara is important, right? But if something is a svara, it doesn't make it a mitzvah, because if you're going to say that something is a svara, so he says, makes it a mitzvah, right? So then not only should Jews have to make brachas, who should also make brachas? Non-Jews also, right? Non-Jews too. But obviously non-Jews don't have to make brachas. And even though we saw on the old TV shows before they would have their turkey on Thanksgiving, they would sit and say thanks to God, right? But the bottom line is there's no obligation for a non-Jew. What?
Once a year.
Yeah. There's no obligation for a non-Jew to go ahead and to make a bracha. Why? Because you know, so when it comes to how you deal with other people, yes, svara there is very important. Okay, so let's say for example, svara is a logical argument. Make logical. So for example, here for example, right? So let's say, you have to run into a store for 2 minutes, okay? And it might be illegal, and there's a parking spot there, right? And there's a car there. And it's 2 minutes, and you want to run in, you're going to leave your car in front of someone else's car, right? So.
That's my life.
So the fact of the matter is that there, what would the svara say? What's the logical say? Should you do it?
Not to do it, right?
And there, by the way, I think you'd actually be over an issur if you would do it, okay? Because you're affecting somebody else. When it comes to mitzvahs, between us and the Baruch Hu, it's very difficult to go ahead and speak about svaras. That's basically what he says. When we talk about the Dor HaMavul, we're talking about svaras, how you dealt with other people, okay? How you went ahead and you dealt with other people. And by the way, this is a very important thing. This year, someone came to me, the first morning of Sukkot, he had a shiloh, he was very upset. He said, there was someone in the Sukkot next door that was singing until 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, right? So he said he couldn't sleep in the Sukkot at night. It was very hard, right? So as far as makes sense, you know, if people are sleeping outside, at some point you should shut things down. Maybe 11 o'clock. That's the law in this country. But saying so, when it comes to Mitzvah Nasan Hakadosh Baruch Hu, there it's very difficult to talk about svaras. And as a matter of fact, we don't talk about svaras. If you look at source number 10. And this is very in question. He says, this is from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and this fits in very well with what the Tzlach says. He says, the Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, the Iker Chia Birchas Hanenin, who Mishum the Chayv of Chachamim, Lahodus Lahalel, so the Chum were obligated us to be Lahodus Lahalel, Kodam Shehu Ochel B'Shos, before eating a drink. He says, and why is that? See, he says, V'chiv Zesvar B'Shum Derech Eretz, because you have an obligation to make Birchas HaMitzvos. Ella, what's the difference, right? He says like this. So same when it comes to mitzvos, but there's a difference in eating and when it comes to mitzvos. Why? So halacha is that before I do a mitzvah, I have to make a bracha. Now what happens if I go ahead and for whatever reason I do the mitzvah before I make the bracha, and then in the middle of mitzvah I make the bracha? Okay, for example. Example would be is, let's say, in this could come up in certain minyanim that I'm wearing the talis and tefillin at a time when I can't make a bracha. Someone brings me tefillin in the middle of Berachas Kriya Shema. So I don't want to make a bracha then, so I put the tefillin on and I make the bracha on tefillin, you know, when it becomes mutter to make a bracha on tefillin or something else. Or let's say, for example,
well, what if you're
davening
in a minyan when it's too early?
Yeah, right. Or if you sit in the sukkah and by whatever reason you didn't make the bracha, make the bracha a little bit later. Okay, fine. So you didn't do 100% the proper thing, but we wouldn't call an Isser Me'ilah. Okay? In other words, you have to make a bracha before a mitzvah. However, if you didn't make the bracha before the mitzvah, you're not over an Isser Me'ilah. When it comes to food, then if you eat before you make the bracha, then you're over, then you're over the Isser Me'ilah, or you're over the Isser Gezel. Okay? So why is that? And it's a very important point. You're only over an Isser Me'ilah or Isser Gezel because there's a chiyuv to make a bracha. In other words, the same thing which the Tzlach said, even though it's a svara does not make it into a mitzvah. A svara is how you deal with other people. But how you deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a svara does not go ahead and make it into a mitzvah. Right? And for that reason, he points out that let's say, when someone is in aninus, probably the strangest thing about aninus is not making a bracha. And the truth is, you actually get to learn, right? Well, how often do we make brachas without thinking about it? Because you catch yourself, you know, making brachas when you shouldn't be making brachas. So the question is, I don't understand. How can I eat? How could I have eaten when I was an aninus, right? I was mo'el b'kadosh baruch hu, I stole, right? But no one ever says you shouldn't eat when you're aninus. You should try to avoid it. You don't eat fleishiks or you don't drink wine. But no one says you don't eat, right? You try to avoid eating. So what's the answer? The answer is because what makes it into an isser of gezel, an isser of me'ilah, is the fact that there is a mitzvah. That's what makes it into an isser of gezel and into... Well, it's a svara midiraisa, but the mitzvah is the rabban. Just because you have a svara, it does not make it into mitzvah diraisa. It does not make it a mitzvah diraisa. Now, when it comes to ben Allah chaveiro, there a svara is a mitzvah. Why? Because the Torah says vasisa yasher vatov. You have to do what's right. So obviously, acting logically makes a lot of sense. And therefore he says when there's a chiyuv to make a bracha, so the chiyuv itself makes it to me'ilah, and that would answer the question. So let's say I do something which I enjoy. All right, I don't know. I'm swimming in a mayan somewhere, so I'm getting enough from this world. So maybe I should make a bracha. Answer is no, because the chiyuv to make a bracha is because of why? What's the chiyuv to make a bracha? Because Chazal said there's a chiyuv, right? Because of the svara, Chazal said there's a chiyuv, but the chiyuv is midi rabbanan. We can't make our own chiyuvim based on svaras. All right, so that's that is in terms of that. But it is so. Therefore, you're doing what's logical, what you're supposed to do, but the rabbanan gave it the format of being a chiyuv. Okay, see ya.
So I saw a few weeks ago there was a question in the OU rabbi thing in the Torah Tidbits. This man said that his grandchild was born, and because this grandchild is born, he adds an extra bracha in the Shmona Esrei.
We don't have extra brachas in the Shmona Esrei.
Right. So the whole thing was
he adds an extra bracha. Or he adds
no. He was doing it in Modim, and they told him he should do it in Shema Kolenu.
He added a few extra words.
Yeah.
First wants to do that, it's fine. I have a hard enough time focusing on the words I'm supposed to say, so we deal with that. But anyway, whatever. That I guess you can do. We should do Shema Kolenu. Now let's go on. Okay, so just want to finish up. So two more points about brachas. Number one, the Maral. So the Maral discusses this question. I think it's a very important point. The Maral discusses this question. He says, what's this idea that if you
that's
go ahead, that's Nesivas Olam, that's number eight. Sorry, it's number eight, Nesivas Olam. The Maral, what's this idea that if you eat something like a bracha, it's like you roll from Hekdesh. So he says, so he goes on, he says like this, V'nei Yeshal Haladas, Ki Kol Kedush Yosu Chulun L'Yem Tejom. Everything which is Kadosh, which means we can't eat it, becomes Chulun, which means we can't eat it, through redemption. So what does that mean? So if there's something which is kadosh, I can go ahead and I can exchange it for money. The kedusha goes on the money, and now I can go ahead and I can eat. Which we all know today. That's what we do with what?
Maaser
sheni. Maaser sheni. Right. He says. And the reason is because the kedusha is not on the fruit itself. Okay. It's just because the fruit itself is not kedusha. Kedusha rests on it. Okay, so therefore you can go and redeem it. Now, so he says like this. He says, if you look at the third line, I'm just going to do a few snippets from here. Ubnei shekol, it's the beautiful ideas, he says. Ubnei shekol olam el Hashem yisbarach, shubor asakol. The whole world belongs to God. The whole davar shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kodesh, and everything is, which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy. Kmo kol chachim. The Ein Alecha Lomar, he says. But so you might want to say, he says, "Zibloch Hashem Baruch Hu, we can't use it." So the answer is no. He says, "We can only." It only applies to Hekdesh, not to other things. It says on the sixth line of Ein Shayach Zibuchol Nevroyim. He says, because the bottom line is that if you look, the Ze'eno Ki Akol Nivra. Everything was created, l'shamis Hashem yisbarach, to serve Hashem. Ki akol bar l'chvodu yisbarach, everything was created for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. Alright? He says, why? Ki min ha-nevroyim Kulam, from everything that's created, umavriyasam, their creation, nira kavod maisav, you can see the honor of God's actions, ulechein hakol kodesh el Hashem yizbarach, everything is holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemoshar kachashim, everything else. He says, avol kashir bara kol lechvodo, he says, but when you go ahead and you make a bracha, that's also kavod Hashem. So in other words, an apple is kavod Hashem. But when you go ahead and you make a bracha, you making a bracha is also kavod Hashem. It's also kavod Hashem. And therefore, the fruit goes out to Chulin, all right? Because why? Because the fruit's kavod Hashem, but our bracha is kavod Hashem. Now, here the Baral says something amazing, all right? So what's the halacha? Again, we don't really do this today because we're not poda, but in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, or when I was poda hektish, so let's say I was poda something worth $100, 100 shekels. How much did I have to go ahead and be poda? How much?
110.
100. It's a fifth, a chomish. A fifth. I assume it's 120, okay? A fifth. They have to add a fifth. So he says, so I'm making a bracha, where's my fifth? Right? Look what the Maral says. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 lines from the bottom, but number 5. It's so beautiful. Val tomar ki hapodet sarach lehosav lo chomesh. Don't tell me. The one who redeems has to add a fifth. The vadai humosav chomesh. For sure, when you make a bracha, you're adding a fifth. Why? Ki hakava chu ela min adam. The kava the man gives, hu yoser mimashi yegia elav kashira kol nivelech vodu ad chomeshu. Because when you make a bracha, it gives more kava to Kadosh Baruch Hu than the fruit itself. It's like a fifth. He says, "Ki anivroyim achton hem chamisha, pshutim rukavim dom mitzamach balechayim." See, it really explains why. So, therefore, understand when you make a bracha, our bracha we make is more beautiful, right, than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. It's like unbelievable. That's what he says, and that's why it's called a pidyon. And to realize when we make a bracha, how very special a bracha is. Okay, I just want to finish off very quickly with the Sfas Emes. The truth is, as I was preparing this Gemara, I remembered my father. He said, my father said something in Shir explaining this Gemara, and then I saw this Fasemis says it. So let me just say what it is like this. So we saw before, there's a contradiction in Sukkim. One Pasuk says that Hashem Ha'aretz Umlo'a, it belongs to God. And another Pasuk says, Varasan Le'adam. So the Gemara says it's not a stira. Before the Bracha, and this is the way, it's Pashup Shat, simple Pshat, is, belongs to God. After the Bracha, Varasan Le'adam. Right? My father, you know, very unlike him, but he said, and I saw this in the Sfas Emes, that another way to hear Pshat is that if I go ahead and I eat an apple and make a bracha, then it belongs totally to me. It's totally an action, it's a human action, right? But if I make a bracha, then it becomes Hashem Aretz Umlo'a. In other words, so by making a bracha, you sanctify the earth, and it all belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So based on this, we can see the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says, we know this very famous Chazal, that when Yaakov Avinu saw Yosef HaTzadik, and Yosef HaTzadik went ahead, and Yosef HaTzadik was crying over him and kissing him and hugging him, what was Yaakov Avinu doing? Saying Kriya Shema. Very difficult for us to understand. Look, I'm not going to try to explain that, all right? However, the Sfas Emes does. He says, what's the reason? So he says, what caused him to do this? So I'll tell you, my father told me a story that when my uncle, Rav Yoshe Beer, went to Berlin and he came back to visit in Warsaw, and everyone was very, you know, it wasn't like today. You know, today when you go visit, right, you're not really away. You go away, you're not away. Because why? Because there's so much you can do. But in those days, there wasn't even telephones, not even telegrams. Like, come back to visit, everyone's very excited. And he walks in the house. It's also a strange story, but it says, but I think I can explain it. So what happened was, everyone's very happy to see him, right? And my grandfather looks at him and says to him, "Avu is the kuntris. Where's the notebook?" Right? Mm-hmm. So he pulls out his notebook, okay? And my grandfather sits down and looks at the notebook that the Chiddush Torah my uncle wrote when he was in Berlin. And then he closes it, and then he says, "Nu?" My father said, "Was machst du, Beryl?" That's what he said, okay? Then he asked him how he was. So the question is, like, that's, it sounds crazy. It still sounds crazy, but just to understand, in light of the times, when we look at the Sfas Emes, I think we can understand it. So the Sfas Emes says like this. Why did Yaakov say Kriya Shema? So Yaakov was so afraid that his excitement and love for Yosef would cause him to forget a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But via Poshut Tam Hadavar, the third line, number 9, Ki Yorul Inavsho Sha'ayidei Ze'ava Yishkach Imenu Ava Saborei. Because the love for Yosef, he'll forget the love for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lachain, therefore, he wanted to make sure he didn't forget a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So first he went ahead and he remembered a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was able to forget the Avas Agashmias, okay? And that's what he means is, he says, well, that's what it means that you should serve Hashem Yetzirah, that if before you allow Yetzirah to take over you, you remember Hashem, then it's okay. He says, so what does this mean? He says that when you go ahead and you make a bracha, what you're saying is, I really want to eat now, okay? I'm enjoying what this is, okay? Whether it's a steak or it's a cup of carrots, whatever you like, I really want to eat, okay? But before I eat, I'm going to go ahead and remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And therefore, once I go ahead and I remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then I will be able to eat this fruit and use that excitement to help me come close. He says, come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he says this. What does it mean? Before a bracha, it's L'Hashem Ha'aretz. Before a bracha, it's Ha'aretz L'Hashem Ha'adam. It's your own love for Gashmias. He says, you make a bracha and you realize that you're clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this bracha, right? Then it becomes L'Hashem Ha'aretz Lo also. That's the idea of Sfasemes. So the point of the bracha, number one, is to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also for us to realize, not forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're eating, alright? And therefore, when you make the bracha, you're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it goes ahead, and it becomes L'Hashem Ha'aretz Lo. That's the point of the bracha, is that you shouldn't get lost and forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu while you're eating. Now, to come back to the story, I think the reason why my grandpa did it was because, you understand, in those days, most religious Jews that went to Berlin University, what happened to them?
Nothing.
They became, if you talk about it, I think there were basically three religious Jews in that university. Okay, I'm not going to say this. There's my uncle, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rav Huttner. Okay, and most people that were there were actually intellectuals, people who were, could be some others. He says, could be some others. There were a few others, but in general, if you went to Berlin, there was a very strong chance you were going to go astray. All right. Therefore, my grandpa was very afraid. So because of that, he took this approach. Before we say hello, I want to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still in your life. So for my uncle, for Lubavitcher Rebbe, so they say he used to get up every single day, put a yarmulke on his head in class, and make a bracha. For my uncle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life was the fact that he was working on his notebook. But that's the idea. But the point of making a bracha is to make sure that we don't forget our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we make a bracha. So just the opposite of the logical svara, before we make a bracha, it's all us, it's all ours, and we're going to forget our Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you make a bracha, then it becomes L'Hashem Ha'aretz Lo. The Mitzvah next week we'll start the practical part. Uh-huh.